Chapter 9. Avoiding Madeira. The joiner was amazed, as he told his mates in the pub after work.
"So I was just finishing, and this fellow comes down the ladder, and he says, 'Begging your pardon, sir, but I'd just like to check that bulkhead, please.' 'Nothing wrong with it,' says I, 'it's as sound as a bell.' Then he says, 'Right, right, of course, but I've just got to check something.' He pulls this piece of paper out of his pocket, and he reads it careful, and says he's got to check that the new timber hasn't got a rare tropical worm that'll leave it looking like good wood, but weaken it so much that the ship will take in too much water and will have to put into Madeira for repairs or something, possibly. 'I'll soon see about that,' says I, and whacks it with my hammer, and blow me, it cracks in half. I'd have sworn it was prime timber, too. Little worms everywhere.'
'Funny you should say that,' said the man opposite. 'One of 'em came up when I was working and asked if he could look at the copper nails I was using. Well, he takes out a knife, scrapes away at one. It's a bit of rubbish iron under a skin of copper. Had to do half a day's work again. Beats me how he knew. Tom said the chandler swore they were all copper when he supplied them.'
'Huh,' said the third man. 'One came up to me and said, "What would I do if a giant squid pulled the ship under?" I told him I'd do nothing, being as I live in Portsmouth.' He drained his mug. "Damned thorough, these inspectors."
"Yeah," said the first man reflectively. "What do you think of everything?"
"A goose is an inconvenient bird, I've always thought," said Mushroom Ridcully, carving it. "Just a bit too much for one, but not quite enough for two." He extended a fork. "Anyone else want some? Rincewind, just get the man to send up some more oysters, will you? What do you say, gentlemen, another 6 dozen? Let's push the boat out, eh? Ha ha!"
The wizards had taken rooms at an inn, and the owner, watching the bustling staff down in his kitchen, was already thinking happily of an early retirement. Money had not been a problem. Hex had merely teleported some from a distant bank. The wizards had debated the moral implications of this for some time, with their mouths full, but had come down in favour of the idea. They were, after all, doing the right thing. Only Ponder wasn't eating much. He nibbled a biscuit and updated his notes before announcing, "We have covered everything, Arch-Chancellor. The nails, the leaking water barrels, the defective compass, the bad meat. There were 9 reasons why the Beagle would have called in at the island of Madeira. Hex believes the giant squid may be a red herring. As for the 9, yes, I think we have assured that they will no longer occur."
"Remind me why that's important, will you?" said the Dean. "And pass the wine, Mushroom."
"Without this intervention, it's more than likely that Darwin will leave the ship at Madeira should the Beagle call there," said Ponder. "He will be terribly seasick on the voyage."
"Madeira being," said the Dean,
"one of a group of islands on the way, Dean. After that, it's a long haul down to the South Atlantic, round the bottom of South America, with a few stops, and straight up to the Galapagos Islands."
"Down, bottom, up," muttered the Dean. "How can anyone get the hang of globular navigation?"
"The phenomenon we call the love of iron, sir," said Ponder smoothly. "We only find it in rare metals that drop from the sky, but it's very common here. Iron here tries to point north." Silence fell around the table.
"North? Is that the bit at the top?" said Ridcully.
"Conventionally, sir, yes," said Ponder, and rather foolishly added, "but on a globe it doesn't really matter, of course."
"You gods," muttered the Dean, putting his hand over his eyes. "How does the iron know which way to point?" Ridcully persisted. "Metal can't think."
"It's a bit like peas turning to follow the sun, sir," hazarded Ponder, not sure if they actually did. Perhaps it was pea farmers.
"Yes, but peas are living things," said Ridcully. "They know about the sun, right?"
"Peas aren't exactly renowned for their brains, Arch-Chancellor," said the Chair of Indefinite Studies. "Hence the term pea-brained."
"But a pea must be a bloody genius compared to a lump of iron, yes?" said Ridcully.
Ponder knew he had to put a stop to this. The wizards were still determined to apply common sense to Roundworld, and that would get them nowhere. "It's a force that can occur on globe-shaped worlds," he said. "It's caused by the molten iron core spinning, and helps prevent life on the surface being fried by the sun."
"Sounds like deitium in disguise, doesn't it?" said Ridcully. "Planet gets this big magical umbrella so that life can survive. Shows forethought."
"It doesn't work quite like that, Arch-Chancellor," said Ponder. "Life evolved because conditions allowed it to do so."
"Ah, but if conditions hadn't been right, there wouldn't have been any life," said Ridcully. "Therefore, the whole exercise would have been pointless."
"Not really, sir. There wouldn't have been anyone to point out the pointlessness of it,"
said Ponder. I was about to add that some birds, like pigeons, use the love of iron to help them navigate long distances. They have tiny things called magnets in their head, says Hex. They're little bits of iron that know where the North Pole is.
Ah, I know that bit, said the lecturer in recent runes. The North and South Poles are those bits on a globe where the spindle comes out. But they're invisible, of course, he added.
Said Ponder.
Just a minute. Can we get back to these birds, said Redcully. Birds with magnet heads.
Yes, said Ponder, knowing that this was going to be loaded.
How? Said Redcully, flourishing a goose leg. On this globe, birds grew out of great, big, monstrous lizard beasts. Isn't that so?
Small, great, monstrous beasts, sir, said Ponder, wishing not for the first time that his Arch-Chancellor did not have a knack for remembering inconvenient details.
Did they have to fly long distances through fog and bad weather? Said the Arch-Chancellor.
I doubt it, sir, said Ponder.
So, did they already have these magnets in their head from day one, or did they turn up by some godly hand? What does Mr. Darwin of the Origin say about that?
Not very much, sir, said Ponder. It had been a long day.
But it suggests, does it not, that theology, ha-ha, is right, and the Origin is wrong. Perhaps the magnets were added when needed.
Could be, sir, said Ponder. Just don't let him start on the eyeball, he thought. I've got a question, said Rincewind from the end of the table.
Yes, said Ponder, quickly.
There's going to be monster creatures on these islands we're heading for, yes?
How did you know that? Said Ponder.
It just came to me, said Rincewind gloomily. So there are monsters?
Oh, yes, giants of their kind.
With big teeth?
No, not really, they're tortoises.
How big?
About the size of an easy chair, I think.
Rincewind looked suspicious.
How fast? I don't know, not very fast.
And that's it?
From a Darwinian perspective, the islands are famous for their many species of finches.
Any of them carnivorous?
They eat seeds.
So there's nothing dangerous where we're going?
No. Anyway, we don't have to go there. All we have to do now is find the point where he decides to write the ology instead of the origin.
Rincewind pulled a dish of potatoes towards him. Says you, he said.
Plus, plus, plus. I need to communicate grave news. Plus, plus, plus. The words came out of the air. In Roundworld, Hex had a voice.
We're having a bit of a celebration here, said Redcully. I'm sure your news can wait, Mr. Hex.
Plus, plus, plus. Yes, it can. Plus, plus, plus.
Good. In that case, Dean, would you pass me...
Plus, plus, plus. I would not wish to spoil your appetite, plus, 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 Hex went on.
Glad to hear it,
plus, plus, plus. The destruction of the human race can wait until after the pudding, plus, plus, plus.
Ridcully's fork hovered between his plate and his mouth. Then he said,
Would you care to explain this, please, Mr. Stebbins?
I can't, sir. What is happening, Hex? We completed all those tasks properly, didn't we?
Plus, plus, plus.
Yes, but, pause for significance, have you heard of a mythical creature called a... Pause again. Hydra? Plus, plus, plus.
The monster with many heads, said Ponder.
You don't need to tell us when you pause, by the way.
Plus, plus, plus.
Thank you. Yes, cut off one head and a dozen grow in its place. This history is a Hydra. Plus, plus, plus.
Rincewind nodded at Ponder.
Told you, he said, with his mouth full.
Plus, plus, plus. I am unable to explain why this is the case, but there are now 1,457 reasons why Darwin did not write The Origin of Species. The book has never been written in this history. The voyage has never taken place, plus, plus, plus.
Don't be silly. We know it did, said the Dean.
Plus, plus, plus. Yes, it did, but now it hasn't. Charles Darwin, the scientist, has been removed from this history while you ate. He was, and now he was not. He became a little-remembered priest who caught butterflies. He wrote no book. The human race dies in 500 years, plus, plus, plus.
But yesterday, Ridcully began,
plus, plus, plus. Consider time not as a continuous process, but as a succession of discrete events. Darwin's scientific career has been excised. You remember him, but that is because you are not part of this universe. To deny this is simply to scream at the monkeys in the next tree, plus, plus, plus.
Who did it? Said Rincewind.
What sort of question is that? Said Ponder. No one did it. There isn't anyone to do things. This is some kind of strange phenomenon.
Plus, plus, plus. No, The act shows intelligence, said Hex, Remember, I detected malignity. I surmise that your interference in this history has led to some countermeasure,
Elves again, said Ridcully,
No, they are not clever enough. I can detect nothing except natural forces,
Natural forces aren't animate, said Ponder. They can't think.
Pause for dramatic effect. Perhaps the ones here have learned to, said Hex.